An eye-opening and disturbing new report says that a week and a half before October 7th, 2023, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was warned by the president of the United Arab Emirates that the terrorist group Hamas was preparing a major attack against Israel. And yet, according to the article in the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, Netanyahu did not pass on the warning to Israel's security leaders. And Netanyahu's office calls this report an absolute lie, but the UAE's response is far more nuanced.
So the truth always comes out. And what has just been exposed is what I think many of us already knew, and that is that Netanyahu knew about October 7th before it happened. He was warned about the attack. He was told personally that this would happen, and he allowed for it to happen. Was there also a stand-down order tied into Netanyahu? And why would he have done this? These are questions that we're going to be exploring today. Was he somehow going to exploit this as an opportunity to genocide and ethnically cleanse Palestinians? We need to have that honest question. Well, a guy who just came out with a book called Hostages, who's an Israeli author, has come out dropping this major bombshell saying that the UAE, the leader of the UAE, personally warned Netanyahu in a phone call 10 days before the attack happened that the attack was coming. In fact, Sinwar, the mastermind behind the attack, the Palestinian who was behind the attack, who came up with the entire plan, told the UAE to tell Israel that this is coming. So he was just straight up telling them, hey, I'm not happy with what you're doing with the blockade and the process of the negotiations. It's not working. You guys aren't listening. Major attack is about to come. Tell Netanyahu. And he was told. So take a look at what this author is saying. He's confirming, again, what many of us already knew.
Yes, but it's true. You know, I have all my sources. It's a confidential sources that I worked for this report almost a year and a half. So I got the first report, I think, in about last year. And it took to me about 1 year to get the sources that gave me the confidential for this story. So I have the document, I have records, I have everything that shows that the president of UAE called Netanyahu a week and a half before October 7th and gave him a warning that Yahya Sinwar is planning a major attack on Israel. But it came before, because it's starting for a discussion that were between the Israeli Shin Bet and Yahya Sinwar representative, one of them, about a talk about the lifting of Gaza blockade. Mm-hmm. And the discussion were took place in summer 2023. One of the senior of the Shin Bet officer told me that suddenly Sinwar disappeared. And a week later, he called the Koilais and told him, tell the Israelis, if they are not going forward with the arrangement that we are talking now, I'm making a big surprise.
Wow.
And he said the word zilzal in Arabic, it's earthquake.
And let that sink in. That's on CNN. CNN is reporting that Netanyahu knew about this. Of course, this is being especially reported by Haaretz, which is an Israeli newspaper and online paper. And it has exposed this entire story. And they're in hot water now for doing so. Netanyahu is now saying that he's going to sue them, even though they have all their ducks in a row. They have the truth and facts on their side. They have their sources. He's, of course, denying it. But major news outlets are reporting on this. I mean, The Guardian just did an article on it. So now legacy media, you know, the media that covers up the genocide, you know, the media that is constantly slavishly obedient to anything Israel tells them to do. Well, that same media is actually reporting this on Netanyahu. And I think there's a reason why, which I'll explain here in a moment. But here's where the author confirms that the UAE and its leader personally called Netanyahu and told him about the attack. Take a look.
The president of the UAE called Netanyahu, and he was afraid that if the bloodshed in Gaza Strip would take Gaza Strip or the West Bank in the Middle East will take place, then it warned the Abraham Accord, and he was very afraid that it will collapse.
So Yahya Sinwar, just a reminder of viewers, was the leader of Hamas. He's been killed by the Israeli Defense Forces. We should know something very interesting happened today after your story was published. The UAE Ministry of Foreign Affairs responded to the story. They posted on social media that they don't comment on media sources, on media stories, but they added they didn't deny the story at all. And then they say UAE and Israeli government entities have maintained open and direct lines of communication since the inception of the relationship more than 5 years ago. When necessary, all relevant intelligence has been and continues to be communicated between the relevant entities, unquote. I mean, that seems like a confirmation, does it not?
It's a confirmation.
Of course, it's a confirmation. So he had this information. He did nothing about it. And what's also coming out by Haaretz, and a lot of people are overlooking this, but this is just as big as this story. Hamas offered on the day of October 7th to release all of the hostages, 100% of them. No conditions. They only asked that there would be a mediator between Israel and Hamas, that there would be a mediator for negotiations, for a conversation, and they will release all of the hostages. Netanyahu rejected that offer. I mean, did you just hear what I said? Netanyahu had a chance to get all of the hostages back right at the beginning of this, and he rejected it. Why would he do that? Is it that he wanted to use Hamas having those hostages as an excuse to go in there and kill everybody that they see, men, women, and children? Because they have our hostages, so we got to go in there and free the hostages. So if they just release the hostages, that takes away his excuse to go in there and kill everyone. Let that sink in. But why? Oh, why would he allow for this if he had foreknowledge about it? Well, I think it's very, very obvious. The reason why he allowed for this was to have an excuse to commit genocide and ethnic cleansing, a sort of final solution for the Palestinians, if you will. You remember the Nazis and their final solution for the Jews? Their final solution was the Holocaust. Netanyahu's final solution for the Palestinians was, let's just genocide them all, ethnically cleanse them all, and blame it on them, and say that they're the problem. They have the hostages, and they attacked us. Is that why maybe there was a stand-down order for Israel not to respond whenever the attack was going on? It appears so. Charlie Kirk actually mentioned something about that just a few days after this attack. Now, whatever you think about Charlie Kirk, I have a whole lot of criticisms about him, and I don't think that he was significantly changing on his loyalty to Israel towards the end before his assassination. He was starting to question things, but I don't think it's what a lot of people are saying. Be that as it may, he did question the narrative, and he did ask, was there a stand-down order? Very famously, take a look at this clip.
How did these guys not know this was taking place?
So I've been to Israel many times. The whole country's a fortress. When I first heard this story, I still had the same gut instinct that I did initially. I find this very hard to believe. I've been to that Gaza border. You cannot go 10 feet without running into a 19-year-old with an AR-15 or an automatic machine gun that is an IDF soldier. Right? The whole country is surveilled. The last 9 months, Israel was on the brink of civil war. It's not an exaggeration. This judicial stuff, there were hundreds of thousands of Israelis taking to the streets because Bibi Netanyahu is basically redefining the Israeli constitution. That's not an exaggeration, right? He said the judicial branch has too much power. There were protests planned this week against Netanyahu where they anticipated tens of thousands of people to take to the streets. That's all gone, Patrick. Netanyahu now has an emergency government and a mandate to lead. I'm not willing to say, to go so far that saying that Netanyahu knew or there was intelligence here. But I think some questions need to be asked. Was there a stand down order? Was there a stand down order? 6 hours? I don't believe it. Israel's the size of New Jersey. When I took a helicopter ride from Jerusalem to the Gaza border, it's 45 minutes.
Wow.
6 hours. They're live streaming the killing of Jews. Did somebody in the government say stand down? That is a legitimate non-conspiracy question. The whole country is the IDF. The whole country is.
Yeah.
And you're trying to tell me that they're going to concerts and kibbutzes and schools and by reports, 6 hours. Let's say it's 3 hours.
That's suspect. Go ahead, Rob.
It's also not like a right-wing reporting. This is from the New York Times. The long
Thank
wait
you.
For help as massacre unfolds in Israel.
Nine
I can't
hours.
Think of a more liberal yeah. news outlet than the New York Times.
And by the way, I'm actually very pro-Israel. So let me be very, mm-hmm. so I'm not exactly.
Well, I think we all are.
No, I just want to make sure my position is clear here.
Yeah, sadly he was. He was actually incredibly disgusting in many ways, including his position on Palestine that did not appear to change even before his assassination. Maybe it would have by now if he was still alive, but I don't believe the narrative that he's significantly changed, and I don't think you should either. But that's a different topic. But he raises a good question here. Was there a stand-down order? He said, I don't think that Netanyahu, I'm not saying that he had knowledge. Well, it turns out he did have knowledge about it in advance. And there was a stand-down order. We now have IDF soldiers who have testified that they were told to stand down. Take a look and read the caption here because this one is in Hebrew.
Baruch Hashem, he survived. Pitom ole bakesher bo'da muzara. Kol ha'tachanot, lo yoda lama, lo yoda eich, mashu basignon hazeh, en siur bagader ha'te shaba boker.
באיזה שעה זה?
5:20 בבוקר.
כל תחנות נשארים כאן משניהן, אז מבחינת קרקע ואויב אין לנו את דברים משמעותיים. מבחינת כוחותינו יצא הנחיה מהחטיבה שעד השעה 9 בבוקר מול הערכת המצב, אף כלי לא מגיע לבורמה. אני חוזר שוב, עד 9 בבוקר מול הערכת המצב, אף כלי לא יורד לבורמה. נמצאים בנקודות זינוק אחוריות. מאחד חטיבה, לא יודע בדיוק למה, לא שווה יותר מדי, זאת ההנחיה, זה מה שאנחנו עושים.
קצת לפני שהכל מתחיל, ואיתמר דופק לנו פרצוף כזה של... מה? ואתה יודע, אנחנו חיילים פשוטים סך הכל, לוחמים, לא מפקדים ולא קצינים שנוכל לשאול שאלות, זו הוראה של הסמגד, מקבלים את הפקודה הזאת ולא שואלים שאלות.
So there he's confirming this, and there's been others as well. And look, my Hebrew is very poor. I came back at 12, right? Came back from Israel at the age of 12, so it's been a long time since I've spoken it fluently. But I still remember enough to say that is an accurate translation as I was listening to it and reading it. So we have IDF testimony that there was a stand-down order. Now we have knowledge that Netanyahu knew about it in advance and did nothing about it. Now the question is, of course, why would he do that? Well, of course, we answered that earlier with, well, as an excuse for genocide. But beyond the Palestinians, this extends also to his excuse to fight Iran. Take a look at this. This was said by Netanyahu, commenting on the October 7th issue. He says, quote, "Our achievements are unbelievable. I mean, who would have believed on October 7th that we would change the face of the Middle East? I did. I said it on October 8th, and my intention was that in the end, we would clash with Iran, the head of the octopus, and we would cut off the arms, hit and wound this axis of evil, and we did it very powerfully." There you have an admission from Netanyahu that he had an intention to exploit October 7th, not only to genocide the Palestinians, but beyond that, to fight a war with Iran and to use, of course, America to fight that war for him. It seems like all of this was intentional. Don't forget, it was also Netanyahu that funded Hamas before October 7th. And Netanyahu that kept them in power so that he would have an excuse not to negotiate with the Palestinians and push for a two-state solution. Netanyahu created and funded this mess because he funded Hamas. And then he knew about it in advance, allowed for it to happen, and exploited it to murder Palestinians and to also expand regional dominance all the way to Iran and take care of the Iran problem. And of course, have America do it in the process. And we were dumb enough to go along with it all. We went along with it after October 7th. Yeah, Israel has a right to defend itself. Since when do occupiers and aggressors have a right to defend themselves? No, the people who are occupied have a right to resist their occupiers. Someone comes to your house, breaks in your house, puts a gun to your face. Does that person have a right to defend themselves as they have a gun in your face? No, they don't. You have a right to defend yourself, and you have every right to kill that person. Because they have you at gunpoint. Israelis have used this narrative. They have the right to defend themselves because of October 7th. But wait, what did you do to the Palestinians before October 7th? Oh, first of all, you were standing on their stolen land. You had a whole blockade on them. You were starving them to death. You were massacring Palestinians. Of course, they didn't have a right to defend themselves, though, because they're not fully human, according to the Israelis. Does that justify everything that happened on October 7th? Of course not. Both Hamas and Israel killed Israeli citizens on October 7th. Not just Hamas. Israel killed some of its own citizens on purpose with the Hannibal directive. So none of it was justified. Plenty of it went wrong. But the point is, they use this narrative to say they have a right to defend themselves. We went along with it, wrote them a blank check, literally. Go and do all you want. We'll fund it. Go and massacre these people because you got a right to defend yourselves. And it turns out they knew about it all along, and they used it intentionally, and they played us, as they continue to play us right now with this war with Iran. And as they continue to play us right now, as we continue to allow them to massacre Palestinians and people in Lebanon. And not enough is being done. We see the UK is putting sanctions on the Israeli terrorists, settlers in the West Bank, but that's just not enough. And of course, Israel is outraged over the fact that anybody would put sanctions on them. How dare they? How dare they? We should be able to murder and steal with impunity, without any consequences. What are you talking about? Put sanctions on us? No. We get to murder in peace with your money. You have to fund it. So this is massive. And what's blowing my mind is not that this has come out. I think, again, we already knew this. This is just confirmation of it. But what's blowing my mind is actually the media is starting to report on this. But they should go all the way. They should report on the entire thing. The entire history of Israel. All right, well, that's what I got for now. I want to hear your thoughts about this whole situation. Make sure to put them in the comment section and use your hype points to hype this video, because I think this one needs to be spread far and wide to as many people as possible to get the word out. So make sure to do your part. Like button, subscribe button, hype points, all that good stuff. That's going to do it for now. We'll see you later. Hey, thanks so much for watching. Don't forget to subscribe. Also, check out my second channel right here on YouTube, Reason and Theology. And by the way, if you want to support the channel, check me out at patreon.com/reasonandtheology.